Hey folks, Joyce Vance here. Big news out of Manhattan. A judge has delayed the start of former President Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial for 30 days as Trump's lawyers review new evidence provided to them by federal prosecutors. In other news, Nathan Wade, a special prosecutor handling Trump's Fulton County, Georgia prosecution, has resigned after a judge ruled that DA Fani Willis could only remain on the case if Wade, with whom she had a romantic relationship, stepped down. And a federal judge in Florida rejected one of Trump's motions to dismiss the Mar-a-Lago documents prosecution. Preet and I discuss all that and more on the Cafe Insider podcast. To hear our full conversation and access all other Cafe Insider content, try the membership for just $1 for 1 month. You can do that at cafe.com/insider. That's cafe.com/insider. We look forward to having you as part of the Insider community.
I guess we should start first with the Manhattan DA case. We thought that we were going to be spending this episode basically doing a preview of the trial, whose jury selection was supposed to begin a week from yesterday. So 6 days from now. That is not happening. And by the way, before we get to the why it's not happening, I just want to point out that when we've been having these discussions and debates and predictions about when trials are going to start, there's lots of unpredictable stuff. So with respect to the DC case that some people are hoping and praying can still begin before the election, you have to take into account also that which you can't predict. And there can be squabbles about lawyers. There can be, you know, jury illnesses. There can be sudden document drops on the eve of trial. And that's what happened here. Do you want to explain what the hell happened?
I wish that I could. We know a little bit. There are other things that we don't know, but here's the bottom line. There is a discovery squabble, and Donald Trump has argued that the case should be dismissed or at least delayed. He asked for 90 days because he says the Manhattan DA has not fulfilled its discovery obligations to him. But it gets weird at this point because the discovery he's complaining about is documents that are in possession of the Southern District of New York. And of course, the Southern District of New York has not indicted Donald Trump. The Manhattan DA has. So the question is whether the DA somehow was obligated to get all of these documents, more than 100,000 pages, by the way, that SDNY has turned over since early March, or whether the DA's office is in the clear because Trump asked for stuff from SDNY that the DA wasn't obligated to provide.
So the documents in question appear to be documents and materials related to the case that the Southern District of New York brought against Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, obviously, a centrally important witness in the DA trial, but pled guilty in connection with some of the same facts, many of the same facts, in the Southern District of New York. And just to go through the timeline for a moment, then we can assess, you know, how this happened and why it's on the eve of trial. The Manhattan DA made requests for those documents for the purposes of, you know, developing its own investigation. And possibly, I don't know if you agree with this, for purposes of providing relevant documents, impeachment material, and other things to the defense. And the Southern District of New York, as is its wont, provided not everything that was asked for some months ago, but a subset of documents. And that subset of documents, the DA's office claims they provided to the defense. Separately and tardily, this past January, the defense sought some or all of those same documents from the Southern District of New York. And this time, it appears, rather than balk and provide only a subset, we provided a lot more. So a question is, why did the Southern District of New York not provide everything asked for to the DA, but did provide what seems like it was everything that was asked for to the defense?
Yeah, so I think the first question is, were the requests identical? Did the DA's office asked SDNY to provide exactly the same set of documents that Trump asked for? It's not clear to me that that's the case. It's possible that the Trump subpoena asked for additional stuff. And of course, in the mix here is the TUI regulations, which don't permit federal prosecutors to testify in a case or to turn over documents where government records are involved without jumping through a lot of hoops. So,
right, you should explain what the TUI regulations, T-O-U-H-Y, based on a case of the same name. What are those hoops, Joyce?
So essentially, you have to engage in a review process where superiors take a look at it and decide if this is information that has to be turned over. And, you know, one of the real sensitivities when you're looking at a TUI request, I suspect that you, like me, I used to look at this routinely where in a state prosecution, there was a request for federal agents to testify. And the question is whether you're talking about information about ongoing investigations or even closed investigations that the federal government has a legitimate interest in protecting. That can be a fine line, sort of a distinction. And very often, for instance, if there was a request from the Trump folks for information, if just say, let's speculate, they wanted to get information about why Trump wasn't prosecuted, something that might be exculpatory for Trump, well, the government might decide that that sort of information really shouldn't be turned over in discovery. And I think that would be a correct decision. But part of the problem in analyzing this situation is we don't know exactly what Trump's request was for, although we can speculate that a lot of it has to do with the Michael Cohen prosecution.
Yeah, but if it's the case, and I agree, we don't know exactly what was requested, but one can, I think, reasonably assume that some of the documents requested by the defense were the same as the documents requested by the Manhattan DA, and they were turned over in the one case and not in the other. And by the way, the record does reflect that those hoops were jumped through mm-hmm. with respect to the defense requests, and the TUI regulations appear to have been complied with. It still doesn't answer the question. You know, could it be they had a change of heart? Could it be that, you know, the eve of trial focuses the mind? There's something a little unusual, and I don't know if you've seen anybody put forth a good theory about it, because I don't think that I have.
You know, I haven't either, and I think change of heart is another way of saying we screwed up the first time, right?
So I don't want to say that about my former office.
I agree. I don't want to judge, because we don't know enough.
Now, there's another thing going on here. So because this is the modern world, everyone wants to point the finger at someone. Who's to blame because the trial is getting delayed? Now, there's an argument to be made that Alvin Bragg and his team satisfied their obligation by making requests for the documents when the Southern District, given its own discretion, provided a subset. They were okay to assume that that's all that was going to be forthcoming. They gave that to the defense, and that's that, because the obligation on the part of any prosecutor's office is to provide information that is in the possession of anyone who is part of the prosecution team, right? That includes the prosecutors, it includes the paralegals, it includes the federal law enforcement or local law enforcement agents, witnesses, potentially that are in their control, but not every and all bits of information scattered throughout the universe. Isn't there not an argument that the Southern District of New York was not part of this prosecution team, and it was not necessarily the obligation of Alvin Bragg to get this material? And by the way, that's implicitly borne out by the fact that the defense, the Trump defense team, separately asked for these documents.
Yeah, I think that that's correct, right? I mean, SDNY, not a part of this prosecution. If SDNY got this wrong, that's not on the Manhattan DA. And the only thing that this judge has to consider is whether the Manhattan DA violated their discovery obligations. And if you like to read tea leaves, which I occasionally do, I don't think that this case is headed for dismissal. The judge is going to hold a hearing, by the way, on the date the case was supposed to go to trial, next Monday. But yesterday, he took up, and I know we'll discuss in a minute, some motions that he made rulings on. And that suggests to me that he is not planning on dismissing the case, or he wouldn't have gone ahead with those motions.
Yeah, look, you know, some predictions we can be confident in, some are speculative. I'm quite confident that this case is not getting dismissed. You know, the Manhattan DA did a fairly extraordinary thing by not accepting a 90-day adjournment, but counter-proposing a 30-day adjournment, which the judge has granted. Wouldn't the DA's office have been within its rights to say, even more aggressively than they did in their papers to the court, that, you know, they are not at fault for the delay? The only people who are to blame for the delay, and I know there's a counter argument, but they could have said the reason for the delay is that the defense waited until January to ask for these documents, and then were very, very nice and accommodating to the Southern District, that kept asking for more time to produce these documents. And they said, sure, take as much time as you want. But the delay and dilatory nature of this here lies at the feet of the defense, not the DA's office. And they could have opposed any adjournment at all.
Yeah, I think that they could have. And I suspect the reason that they didn't, right, was that they were seeing some of these documents for the first time and that they too wanted a little bit of extra time to catch their breath, figure out what was in the document dump, and then move forward. So I think the adjournment is until April 15. It was 30 days from the date that the judge issued his order, not 30 days from the original trial date. So we're talking theoretically about just a couple of weeks here.
There's a lot of, you know, back and forth and hullabaloo about whose fault it was. The bottom line is, I think there are a multiplicity of arguments. We don't know exactly what the documents are. We don't know exactly what the request was, I don't think. And the trial is going to be delayed fairly briefly, still in plenty of time before the election. And as Joyce said a second ago, the judge has taken it upon himself to decide some of these motions, which are very interesting to discuss. Do you want to talk about one of them that we have discussed at some length on a prior episode?
Overall, looking at how Judge Mershon handled these motions, I think it's important to say that I've walked away with the impression that he is a very good jurist. He's very fair. He did not, you know, rule in a results-oriented way to help out one side. He seemed to take very seriously his obligation to weigh the evidence, consider whether it was relevant, decided what went beyond the bounds of unfair prejudice. And he really split the baby in some of these rulings in a way that appeals to my appellate lawyer's heart as the type of rulings that get affirmed on appeal. One of the best examples of that is how he ruled on the request made by the people, made by the prosecution, to play the Access Hollywood tape where Trump talks about grabbing women in an effort to argue that this entire hush money scheme was necessitated by the campaign's sensitivity to any further disclosures about Trump, women, sex, and all of that sort of thing. Thanks for listening. To hear the full episode, head to cafe.com/insider and try out the membership for just $1 for 1 month. That's cafe.com/insider. To the many of you who've chosen to join the Insider community, thank you for supporting our work.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at 3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.